Well, today's daf is daf Nun Hei, and we were in the middle of the sugya about it, explaining in what sense we mean that Tnaei HaKtuvah Kikhtuvah. The reason that we got into this is because of a diuk in the Lashon of the Mishnah where it says that Im Ratzala Hosif, Ben wants a Tosefet, and that it doesn't say if he wants to write. It means to say, in other words, it's not an outside issue, it's giving an additional gift, it's an actual Tosefet, it's additive within the Ketuvah. That has very serious implications, because it indicates that the various na'im that are part of the Ketuvah Shtar have the same dinim as the Ketuvah. What are those implications? So yesterday we went through a few of them. And by the way, there are other implications, which the fact that they're not going to be listed in the Gemara, the Rishonim and Medayik, means that they do not apply. We'll get into very subtle issues in which the Tanaya Ketuvah are indeed different than the Ketuvah. But in any event, here we said the nafkamina would be, let's just start once again, one line up from the bottom, nafkamina, the difference, whether we call it part of the ketuvah or not, would be the following issues. A mocheret, somebody who sells a ketuvah, cannot claim, but I didn't mean, of course, the personal gift to me. The personal gift is part of the ketuvah. Le mochelet, so too, if she is mochelet, her ketuvah, she can't say, I didn't mean to be mochel the gift, not true. The whole thing is one issue. A moredet, where over there she refuses her husband, and the halacha is that we start deducting for the value of her ketuvah until it's gone and then divorce. So there we affect also the value of the tosefet of the ketuvah with our deduction. A pogemet ketuvata has two issues. In other words, if she is pogemet, meaning that she claimed also that she got a little bit, but only of the tosefet, doesn't matter. Once she said she was mekabelet the tosefet, she can only collect the rest with the shvua, as any pogemet, and vice versa. If she was pogemet in the Ikar Ketuvah, the Tosefet is also affected by that pogam, and she will only be able to collect the Tosefet with the Shvua. And we'll see that one of those is extra, but we'll get to that today. A Tovat, where we said the halacha is, that if she's been living off of the estate, the moment that she's Tovat or Ketuvah, she now stops getting Mizonot, because it means that she's off on her own, and she's no longer in the days of her Almanut. And also, in terms of Noveret al-Dat, which we'll see later on, a woman who is not, doesn't keep the accepted dinim of Tzniut, it loosens also her Ketuvah and the Tosefet. Furthermore, now today's additions, L'Shevach. L'Shevach is in terms of collection. The din normally would be that if you are collecting, let's say the case of a Bechor, where he's getting a double portion as a Yerusha, he does not collect anything which was now added value after the death of the father, but the Isha and the of her ketuvah and the Tosefet has the same halacha as that. So even though normally you would say it's a typical debt, but in this case it's not a typical debt. There were certain halachas that we were actually made it more difficult to collect because of the fact that in general there's various kulos because women like to get married anyway, so we don't have to give them all of the benefits. Tav l'metav tandu, milametav amelata, as the Gemara says, better at least two living bodies than to be alone. Okay, at least he's a body, you know. So, in that sense, some of the issues of the ketuvah, we'll see, we're pulled in both directions. We try to increase the security of the woman. On the other hand, we want to make it something that people will feel good about getting, the men will feel that they're not signing their lives away, which, I mean, you see what happens today, where there's so much of this, and people just say, it's just too complicated. And, you know, you get married, next thing you know, you're in court for 20 years, I mean, who needs it? So in order to avoid those kind of issues, we made other dinim that protect the man as well. See, this is a general tension that we're going to be getting into throughout the Masechta. So that's in terms of collection through Shevach. Also, Lishvua. So wherever there is a need to swear about the Ketuvah, and there's lots of different cases where you have cases of Shvua. One of them, of course, we just had, was the Pogemet, which is a problem. Because, isn't that included? A Pogemet Ketuvata is one of the cases where you would have to swear. So we already know you'd have to swear on the Tosefet from this other issue. But as Rashi points out, there are two elements in the Pogemet. Because, first of all, that you'd have to swear on the Tosefet, but also the opposite. That if you were Pogemet the Tosefet, you also have to swear on the Ketuvah. That I wouldn't have known for the Shvua. But I mean, there's also other cases where you have an Edefa that said that it was Parua, or she wants to collect from the Chassim that had been sold on her. You know, Chassim Meshubadim, they require a Shvua. She requires a Shvua also on the Tosefet, and we'll see that we have a general problem with collection of the Ketuvah that requires Shvua. The reason is, where she's collecting from Nichsei Yitomim, the reason is that we're always afraid that a husband in his lifetime had a hidden bank account, that he said to her, you know what, I don't want you to have to worry about collecting your ketubah. So he wants her to feel secure. And that's called Tsuare Atvasa. He was matvis her, a pile of money, so to speak. So he gave her a wallet. And whatever it says, we don't know about it. That's not true, exactly. And we don't know about it. And because of that, we don't normally allow her to collect, and we'll see there are special cases that we would, without a shvua where she's going after something that we have to worry about, that's lashvan. So in this case, the Tosefet has the same din as the actual ketuva does when it comes to shvua. Same thing is true when it comes to shmita, or the shvi'it. The din is that a shvi'it is not mishametet a ketuva, because it's not viewed as a debt, which would be a loan, whereas I might have thought the Tosefet is a type of debt. That it's actually part of the ketubah itself. That's how Rashi learns. Tosis is very, very troubled by that because there's a big machlokas about whether Bichlal Shvius works on anything but actual loans. Certainly not a loan, even if it wouldn't be part of the it's actually problematic by Rashi because the Rabbanan, the normative sheet is that it won't work on something which isn't a loan. And therefore there shouldn't be much of a chiddush to tell me that in terms of Shemitah. So therefore, the relearns a completely different meaning. He says that when it comes over here to the shvius, it's talking about over here by somebody who was pogemet but wasn't zokefet. There's a bit of, you know, it's a little bit technical. Let's wait. We'll get back to that. Just so you understand that you can be zokef anything as a loan. In other words, if you said at one point you owe me X. At that point, it becomes a milva. In other words, you're no longer talking about collecting with the thing, but there was an agreement. Same thing would happen in a store. Normally, if you have a bill that is adding up, once the guy says to you, okay, you owe me X, it's no longer a bill that's adding up, it's now a debt. Once it's a debt, then it's got Shemitah can be Meshamit. The same thing could have happened with the ketubah if we wouldn't. That's the analysis we should get back to. So in terms of Shemitah, it's like it's part of the ketubah. Another thing that it's part of the ketubah is someone who's kotev kol nechasav levanav. So there in Halacha, we touched on this yesterday, one of Rashi's pshatim, which is if somebody gives a particular piece of property to his wife, and in the course of that is giving the rest of his, as a living will, the rest of his property to his children, as long as that's acceptable to her, then there's no protest that I don't want that, then it turns out that he's limiting the collection to that piece of property, because she now basically allowed the lien off of the gift, and looked at that piece of property as an apotiki that she'll collect with. And that was, if you recall, yesterday we spoke about. So you might think that wouldn't affect the Tosefet. It does, and it's exactly the same. Tosefet can only be collected from that karka. Furthermore, ligvot mina karka. The general halacha of the ketuvah, as opposed to a debt, is that it's not collectible from bank accounts. Nowadays it's different, we have the tekanata going in. But at the time, you couldn't collect from anything that wasn't real estate. So too, the Tosefet can't be collected if it's not from real estate. Furthermore, what kind of real estate is it collected from? Not as other debts, which are collected mina benonit. Over here, it's only collected mina ziburit. If you have that a choice of what to collect from, you collect from the type of property that might be the most difficult to sell. Obviously, it's the same value, but there's properties that move quickly, there's properties you have to hold on to. That's, by the way, Stam, a very interesting marketing question as to why a difficulty of sale doesn't affect the price. The whole economics issue. So why doesn't the price fall in order to people want to realize their money? So there's basically a formula that will balance out the need for the immediacy of the cash flow, the willingness to wait, as far as how it affects value. So ziburis obviously doesn't affect value, because otherwise you're not allowing him to collect what it's worth. But it does affect the amount of time you may require to realize that value. And that itself sometimes is worth money to a person. It makes a big difference.
Could it be priced to sell? So
yeah, those cases also. Those are also taken into consideration very, very much, and not in terms of value, but in terms of loss and my unwillingness to put myself in a position where it looks like I'm pressed to sell and things like that. It's very nogea. Yeah. La la. Even actually on this daf in a subtle way.
Isn't it regarding the quality of the land?
Yes, but that's what it affects. It affects the ease with which you'll be able to sell. It doesn't affect the value.
Rocky field and you call
so you give 10 times as much, and then it's worth the same amount as a tiny piece of good land. But the value has to be the same. Obviously, you're not going to give him less than he's owed, right? So that amount of land is worth this as a parking lot, whatever it is. But eventually, whatever the market is, that's what defines the value. So you'll say, so if it's the value, what do I care? That's the point. You care because you're not going to move it very easily. So that is true also of the Tosefet. It can only be collected from Ziburi. Another issue that can is similar to the Tosefet and the Ketuvah is the din to quote Kol Zman Shehi Bebeit Aviyah, etc. unquote. In other words, that is a halacha that says that if a woman is living in an estate, she never has to be tovat or ketuvah because she's afraid. She knows at the moment that she's interested in a ketuvah, they're gonna cut her out. So there, if 30, 40 years later, she suddenly comes to court now and says, I want my ketuvah, we don't say, why didn't you talk about it before? So what do you mean, why didn't I talk about it before? Because they were performing properly. Now they're not treating me, I want out of here. But if she isn't living off of the estate, like we had the case, Bibikta, I mean, Velo Bibikti, she's living with her, or she didn't want to live off, whatever the situation is. She has nothing to fear from being Tovat or Ketuvah. All of a sudden, 30 years later, she comes to court, suddenly you remembered your Ketuvah, you obviously mochelet your Ketuvah. That halacha is 25 years. She has 25 years from the death of her husband to be Tovat or Ketuvah, and otherwise it becomes basically defunct.
Where did they come up with?
Umdenez, as we'll see, assumptions as to what the das of a person is vis-a-vis Mechila. So there too, it's true even of the Tosefet. You might say, Tosefet, that's my private gift. No. The lashon of Osifle Midile is that it merely means to be part of the Ketuvah. So it has all these same limitations. I was wondering about why it is that the state of Maryland stole all my kids' bank accounts also. Yeah, because they decided if there's no movement in an account for 5 years, it must be it's defunct. And so now you got to go through God knows what to get the money back.
I was in Canada 6 months.
And I only found out about it because somebody happened, you know, they put a little tiny print in their paper. Some sugar and noticed it in a paper in Baltimore and called up and said, is that you? If it would have been for that guy to come like 10 years later, you know. We took the money. It's unbelievable.
They take the money.
They take the money. The state takes the money. Crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly. The reason was, of course, because of these scandals in which people had put money into an account. The bank just, like all of the Holocaust. You sit on it, use the money. And, if in a couple of centuries somebody traces it, well, we'll have to pay them with minimal interest. All right, so here too, that's our analysis of the situation. It's due for 25 years. Another thing that it's important to determine that the Tosefet is part of the actual Ketuvah is in terms of Ketuvat Benin Dichri, that she can collect in terms of Benin Dichri, in other words, the children get to collect that after the death of the husband in the event that she died first. The Tosefet is also given to her children above and beyond what they get off of the general estate and isn't split between the other children. You might think that that's a personal gift to her. Kamashmon, it's part of the Ketuvah that's given for Benin Dichri. Now, in general, we have differences of approach in Psak Halacha between the Peskim in Pumbedisa and the Peskim in Matan Mechasi. We already saw a little bit of this earlier, the different Minhagim in terms of collections and so on, between the area of Bava, which includes the Mechuzah and so on, and the area of Narada. Here we bring a list of things, not all of them necessarily Nogei the Dinim of Ketuvah, but the first ones all Nogei Ketuvah, in which they had the machlokis in practical terms, what they would do. So in Pumbedisa, the approach was at lo tarfa mimishabdi. They understood the ketuvah of Benin Dichrin to be the lashon that we have in the Mishnah, which is, quote, yartun, unquote, tanach. The lashon is, the way we have it, the male children will inherit above and beyond. If it's inheritance, an inheritance does not come to collect from the chassim that have a lien or owned by somebody else, where he sold it after the time of writing the ketuvah, because we cannot be toref from the people who bought. So we're not toref milakucha, so therefore it doesn't cancel out anybody else's shibud. It's a yerusha. Masha'inken in Mata Mechasya, they say, that the bonim, her children, can come and collect because it's viewed as a debt, not as a yerusha. And their lashon in the Mishnah, they say tarfei mimishabde. Their lashon in the Mishnah is your children will be yasvun. Means it will be given to them. Given to them sounds like an actual lien that is owed, not a yerusha. And therefore, according to them, we would collect the hilchasa is lo tarfei mimishabde. And indeed, the correct lashon in the Mishnah is yartun tanan.
The question is whether it's from the time he dies or the time he gets married. The second
right. Yeah. Well,
when you get married.
That's one of the questions. I mean, we saw all kinds of issues that Yartun is Nogea, that we view it as a Yerusha kind of thing.
Yasvun, yeah.
I hereby commit myself. Yeah, to, exactly. We know what it is. You brought in $100,000 worth of furniture, sheets, and so on, plus another 200 zuz for the ksuvah, plus another tosefet of $1 million, whatever. And all of that I hereby give as a right after my death to your children. But that's not the case. We don't postulate that. Tznan. So Yarta Tznan. Another issue that was a question in how to paskin between B'nai Mata Machasya and the B'nai Pupadita was in a case where someone had left Metaltelin. So where he leaves Metaltelin that he had set aside to this woman, and we're all agreed that these Metaltelin were hers. So that there was a safe deposit box in which he had put in some gold, and that was supposed to be hers. And now, it's been lost. Whatever happened, the bank disappeared, or war, or we simply lost it, nobody knows where it is. So if itnu be'inayu, if it wouldn't have been lost, she collects without a shvua. That's for sure. The question is, letnu be'inayu. The reason she collects without a shvua is the only reason we made the shvua, as I explained earlier, is because maybe there's a secret bank account, a safe deposit box. Well, over here we know about it, so it's certainly not secret. We're all agreed that this safe deposit box was given to her, so she has to make a shvua that this was, what's the shvua for? That he didn't give me a backup safe deposit box? That we're not cheshish for. If, however, the metatlin do not exist, so Pumbedita says, doesn't matter, because since we're all agreed that it did exist, so we know that there were, in fact, metatlin tsrari, which is the Lashon, the Tzrari wallets, Atfasua, and the Tzrari, which of course are a model, not the literal, but the Tzrari were lost. So what does she have to collect now from the normal property with a Shvua? Was B'nai Mata Machasya Amre, since we can't identify this exact thing, so maybe there were, who knows, maybe there were other things that were given. Another case that they are, Hilchasa in this case as well, below Shvua. Yiched La'ara, if he had given her a field to collect from. And he defined that field be'arba'a matzrana. He gave the exact location of the boundaries of the field, north side, east side, and west side, and south side, and now it's clear that this is the field. So in that case, she now has an apotika. Apotika is apote heikoi. I mean, obviously it's an imported term, but we turn it into Hebrew as we always do with imported terms. So we play with the etymology. So apotika means this is a specific and unique collection that's hers. She has first lien, and that gives her all kinds of other rights as far as not having to swear and being tarif and so on. So in such a case, she collects it as an apotike below shvua. That everybody's agreed. The problem where we get into machlokas between Pupadisa and Mata Machasya is Bechad Mitzra, where he said the field that borders on the road on Route 60 on its west side, and that's all he says. So there, the shaila is whether she's really so mechet on that field, or whether she says, the field that borders, what if they tell me, blah, 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 blah. She says, okay, you know what? Here's a bank account. Don't tell anybody about it. You'll be able to collect from the bank account if they make it tzaras. So maybe now she's not telling us about the bank account. So there already we have a shayla, b'chad mitzra. So b'pumbedita amre b'lo shvua. That even over there, she's so mechet, officially we're not chayish l'tzarar. B'nei mata machasya amre, no. In that case, we need a shvua, because since there weren't the four mitzarim, she's really not going to be so mechet on it, so there was a lot of pressure on him to give her something else. Ve'yolchata below shvua. The truth is that it's considered to be a case in which there is a reliance on it. Amar le'edim. Now this case is just we're bringing in because we were listing the Machasya Pumbedita arguments. So there's another case that's not relevant specifically here, but Amar le'edim kitvu v'chitvu v'avule. Somebody who is who is ill now, and he says to people, go ahead now, sorry, we're not up to the ill part yet. He says to Adam, you know what, I want to write out this and this gift, such and such boundaries, write it out, sign it, and give it to him. And he makes a kinyan sutra. Kodomine lo tzarchim luchibet. So there, when they made a kinyan, they don't have to go back to ask him, should we, say it took a week to get the contract ready, should we deliver this, or did you change your mind? They don't have to ask. There's a machlokas for shonim whether they don't have to ask because there's no point in asking because he can't change his mind once he made a kinyan, or whether it's only an undana that he didn't change his mind, but if we know for a fact that he did change his mind, he can change his mind, because it's not something that is b'chai of him, it's only a kinyan that allows him to write the shtar. So, lo kanumine. The question is whether, if they ever made a kinyan, do they have to go back and make sure that it's okay to hand over this shot? So, but you can, generally speaking, somebody tells you, go ahead and do something. If he would want to stop it, it would be, he would see to it that he's stopping it. And if not, there's no problem. Whereas, b'nei matamachas, It's Tzorichim Luchibe. In Mata Machasik, I said, you better go back and check. Vilchata Tzorichim Luchibe. Aloha Lamaisa, you have to go back and ask him whether he still wants you to deliver this gift. Okay, getting back now to our Mishnah, so we have a very important machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Rabbana. If somebody writes out a ketuvah, and there's a Tosefet in the ketuvah, and he does this Mishas Erisin, L'chora, there's no fine print. The guy wrote out a shtar, gave it over to a woman, which says that if I die, this is what you get. Nonetheless, came along Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, said, but of course they didn't mean that you get it now. He meant that here's your ketuvah. If we end up being married, then we get to the chuppah. So, I mean, a guy doesn't have to write out, but if I die earlier, I mean, he has to think about those things. So here it turns out the guy drops dead before he ever got to the chuppah. What's the halacha? So, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, look, I mean, we certainly do not assume that he meant to write it. Our umdana is, that's his das, he only meant it after he gets to the chuppah, and he doesn't have to pay out. The only thing that has to be paid out is the ikar, aktuvah, the mea, and the matayim for the almana and the betulah, but even though he wrote other things, he meant for later, despite the fact that he didn't write so. So, itmar, in machlokes between Rab and Rabbi Natan. Chanamar halachak, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But we don't know who said what. Says the Gemara, well, we can figure it out. To stayim the Rabbi Natan, the Amalok Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Shamina Leila Rabbi Natan does about our umdana. Since we know, I mean, what's the whole point of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? The whole point is that he is willing to analyze the circumstances and psychology and say that that is what is meant despite the small print. That is the small print, so to speak. Okay, we know that Rabbi Nassan agrees with that. How do we know that? Yomer Rabbi Natan, halachic Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri in two critical halachas, one of which is Nogeavis, and that is a Misukan. So somebody, the pashtus over there that we had in the Mishnah is that somebody who's going on a dangerous journey, right? So he's basically, he's flying China Air, you know, once upon a time. They're now coming out with competitive actual airliners. They can't laugh at them anymore. They're gonna put Boeing out of business.
Aeroflot.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, the good old Aeroflot. Exactly. Where they were using bubble gum to keep the planes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. All right. So anyway, a guy who's going on a trip like that. So he's in there, or in the old days, he was financially young. And he feels himself to be Misukan. He's going into the desert, and doesn't know he's going to make it back, and so on. So he says over there, Kitvu get lishti. Now, normally when you say Kitvu get lishti, we don't say to actually give it. We just write it. So as giving it, that's a different issue. And sometimes people like to put a little bit of pressure on the woman, you know. She hears you order to get, you know, maybe she'll get into line. That's called mitzachekba. He's making life tough for her. But in a case where somebody's choshesh lechayav, I mean, if he's in that kind of matzav, he's not playing games. I mean, what he means is that he wants his wife to be free of him in the event that he doesn't return, and you know, he doesn't want her to be in a case that's in a state of igun and so on. So he makes sure that he gives her a get, like the yotzei lemelchama with bnei David and so on. So that's definitely what he meant. Comes along to Pshimish Yisuri over there in the mission. He says,
no. Straight now, from now.
The other, yeah, she had actually given it.
But it's not delivered.
No, the din is to deliver it. Deliver it.
Even though he says just write it up.
Yeah, exactly. Normally, if he just says write it up, we don't deliver it. But in this case, we say that the guy is in a matzah, which is not thinking, doesn't have time to concentrate, and he really wants us to deliver it, and that's what he meant. But he didn't say, so in other words, Rabbi Nassan is also Basar Umdana, because he passes like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, who says this is true of any matzah. It's not a takona for someone who's Yotzi Bishayara. It's anybody who senses that he's Bisakana. So if a guy is sick, it's a big machlokas here, Rashi. It tells us about what this means, Sakana. According to Rashi, he's a goses. And over there, Tosfos says, what do you mean? A goses, everybody is motivated. That's not a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri in the Rabbani. The only machlokas between Shizuri and Rabbanan is where the guy thinks that he's desperately ill, like maybe hypochondriac. But he's certainly not a goses. But the point is, he believes that he's dying, or that it's a good chance that he's dying. Or where he's sick for 3 days straight, so over there, and in those days, you know, once you're that sick, I don't know, that you should recover. I mean, you obviously have an infection. What do we do about infections? Well, you know, bring the medicine man. So Mamela, over there, it says, Rabbanan Shizuri, our umdana is, that he meant to say also, Tznu. And Rabbi Nosson paskets like that. So obviously Rabbi Nosson holds that a Masukan is enough of an umdana that will give a get despite the fact that he never said so.
If the person died and he wrote a get and
he
wasn't delivered,
it's not a get. So he didn't get
Le'afamita. There's
nothing to do. Ubetruma. The other case, this is not Negea, the Dinim of Undana, but the other case is a case of Trumat Maaser Shel Demai. Over there, the halacha is that Rabbi Shimon Shizuri says that even Bechol, you can be Shoel. What is it referring to? Generally speaking, on Shabbat, we allow a person to be Semech on an Amoras. He didn't have a chance to take off Maaser. So you can go and ask the person that was Bechayev you Demai, if it's Shabbos, did you take off Maaser? Tell me the truth. Rashi says the reason is, which does is ridiculous. I mean, it's clear from the sugya, not like that. It doesn't make any sense. That since it's only Darabonan, I mean, okay, you know, it's only Darabonan, so you should have, I don't ruin your Shabbos. But as the Yerushalmi explains, the astounding shot in that sugya actually is, in the Mishnah, Shayaloi, because people will not lie on Shabbos. In other words, even Namaharis, on Shabbos, he's not going to be able to bring himself to lie. This is like the Ramban, who we're talking about. I mean, because you're dealing with a completely different level of appreciation, you know, like that. It's not like it is. There's a Ramban where the Mishnah talks about the Big Mouth Locus, what's the somebody who's lost, and the Midbar doesn't even know what day Shabbos is, and so on. So Ramban asks, how is that possible? How can somebody not know what day Shabbos is? Because you see from here that it's possible for a person to get to Madriga where he won't know what day Shabbos is, which is astounding. But what can you do? It says so. In any event, so they definitely looked at these things a bit differently. So the real reason is, even an Amara, it's what? Shabbos is going to lie? It's Ema Shabbos, although if he has a sense of it being Shabbos, he can't bring himself to lie. So this comes along, he says, Afilu Bechol, in a case where you took off Trumas Maaser. So you were taking off now. You had over here something that got now mixed up with other things. So you had your Maaser, which was only a Chiyuv because of Demai. Normally you'd rely on it because of Rov. Chiyuv Darabona because of Demai. You took off Trumas Maaser from that, and it fell into other things, and now you're going to have to sell the whole, tremendous loss, you're going to have to sell the whole thing to Kayani instead of on the open market. Such a case is Rav Shimon Shizuri, even Bechol, where it's not Shabbos, and we don't have, like Yerushalmi says, Ema Shabbos, or like Rashi, the need for the food on Shabbos, is Onyek Shabbos. But even then, you can rely on him also, because in a mokum of the Hef said the Rabbanan allowed you to be saved. Okay, that part is not Negei Arsugya. So Rabbi Nosson clearly from the first psak holds that you go according to Dundana. So he must be the one who passed him like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying. That even though he wrote the Ksuvah, he didn't mean it. He only meant it for after the Chuppah, which normally, what do we say, what do you mean or not mean? If a person appears with a shtar, the shtar is collectible. But over here, it's taken for granted that was what was meant. Says the Gemara, that's no proof that's a tistayim. It's not a tistayim. Because what? Rav lo azel batarumtana, what are you telling me? You think Rabbi Nosson is azel batarumtana, therefore he must be the one to pass because like Rav lo azel batarumtana. What, and Rav doesn't? Let me bring you a case and show you that Rav also passes according to Ugdana. In which case, you're back where you started from, because you don't know whether it's Rav or Rabbi Natan. And in the case where I could show you that Rav is holach batarumtana, is this following. Vayitma. Matnat shchiv mira. Shekatuv ba kinyan. Here we have an interesting situation where a guy was giving a matnat shchiv mira. Normally the din is, the Chachami made an amazing takana, that somebody who is dying and is giving over his last will and testament, so to speak, bal peh. So a divrei shchiv mira are tichtuvim misurim dami and their chal. Immediately, because otherwise it will create a psychological matzah which will basically kill people. Somebody had a heart attack, and now he's got to worry about his lawyer. He'll never recover from that heart attack, have another heart attack. So because of that, in order to avoid that, the Chachomi made it son. It's an amazing thing. They made a takana in order that people should not suffer stress, and that only knows what will happen to them.
Office in Yibachul, they
stress
about
someone
heart attack, and they ask, please transfer my teeth.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let.
Yeah. I read about it. So in any event, normally that's the law, and we'll write up what he said, and so on. In this case, a funny thing happened, which is that they wrote up a shtar which used now the lashon of Kinyan. Instead of the normal matnas shchiv mira, he said kach v'kach. Instead, it says in Ishtar that we makna this to you with Ishtar. Now, that is not the lashon that you normally use for matna shchid mirah. Matna shchid mirah, you just write up what he said. Over here, it looks like we're trying to make this a gift. If it's a normal gift, so then it has all kinds of other dinim. I mean, a shchid mirah, there's an umdana that if he gets better, that it wasn't meant to be, a final will and testament, and so on and so forth. So Rav says, if the army they say that he was arkevei atrei rachshe. Very interesting, because we say rochvei harechesh hakashtranim b'nei haramachim. We don't know exactly what they are. You know, maybe they were one of those Star Wars things, the Star Wars vehicles. You know. But certainly we know that rochvei harechesh means the transporters. So basically, what we did over here is we put you on two transporters. And we're going to explain what that means in a moment. That's what Rav held. Shmuel Amar lo yadana ma'igumei. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know whether it's meant to be a bori shtar or whether it's meant to be a shchiv mira description, a will. So what do we mean? Let's look into it more closely. Mishmeit Rav Amrei Arkevei Atrei Rachshe. That basically he's given him two separate vehicles is what it means. And we use that word in English too. We look at a shtar as a vehicle, right? So there's vehicles of collection. That's exactly the word that's been used over here. Atrei Rachshe. He wants to provide in this fashion two separate vehicles of collection. So first of all, he's making it on the one hand a matznat bari. On the other hand, he's making a matna shchid mirah. Because he wants to give him two different modes of collection. So he's giving him a rei kematnat bari, a rei kematnat shchid mirah. Meaning what? A rei kematnat bari dima malin yecholach zorbo. If he gets better, so he can't have charot, because he gave it as a regular gift. If it was given only as a matna shchiv mirah, then if he would get better, the whole thing would be batal. But he doesn't want it to be batal. He wants that it should be an actual gift. On the other hand, hareo kamatna shchiv mirah, in the sense that shim omar halva'ati leploni, halva'ato leploni. That if in this, he writes, bonds that are due to me, so I have debts that are coming in, you normally cannot assign those debts by writing it. But as a shchiv mirah, you can assign it. The normal mode of transferring of a debt, which is something that is a non-extant, there's nothing physical about it. What you're trying to do is give over rights of collection. How do you do that? So normally you wouldn't be able to do it unless, according to Rashi, unless you use a kinyan agav karka in order to make it work. So I'm giving you land, and together with the transference of the land come other debts that are due me. All right, Tosfos doesn't agree with that. That's not the way to collect, but that's not our issue. But certainly in this case, by making a matna shchiv mirah, I can even give it to you because of the new takadot rabbanon of avoidance of stress, in which we accept that he means 100% what he's saying, he's dying, and this is his last will and testament. We now enforce that because of the unique circumstances. Since over here it was also written with the lashon of the shchiv mirah, and there's this special language that is used, that I lying here on my deathbed and so on and so forth. So that means that he's also giving it that particular kayach, because it says, kidakotzir, v'romi, v'arsa, he being ill and lying in his bed. So this is this whole romantic association with the particular power of the shchiv mirah. So it has both elements in it. That's what Rav says. Shmuel says, I don't know. Lo yadano mayodunbe. I'm not sure what he means. Abishema logo marlak vato elabishtar. I mean, maybe the reason that it says is given with this contract to so-and-so means that that's the only way that it's given. So it's not a shchiv mirah, which is if it's k'tuvim u'misurim, it's a matana. If what didn't take place, you can't transfer property after death, despite the fact that you indicated you wanted to by getting the shtar written. It wasn't transferred yet. You never got it. So if you never got it, how do I know that you're able to give it now? I don't see how it would work. And as far as the shchiv mirah part, it doesn't work, Michaim. The only way that it works is by being chal if he dies then, but Michaim, he doesn't really transfer anything. I don't know what to do. Ain't shtar li'achar mita. So, but it turns out that according to Rav says, look, let's analyze what the guy meant. Don't look at the way that it's in front of you. Let's analyze what the guy really meant. So it seems reasonable to assume that he wanted to empower you in as many ways as possible to collect. And that's why it's written in this way. So, I mean, apparently Rav also goes Bosurum Dinis. Now, when we said Rav and Rabbi Natan argue about whether the halakha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we still don't know who said what. You're right. Elatarvayu Batarumdin. Of course, both Rav and Rabbi Natan both agree that we go normally Batar Umdina. So what's the machlokah? Mandyar halacha. So whoever it was that said halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Shapi. Mandyar mar in halacha, that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying. Let's go Batar Umdina. But what about the one who says in halacha? Why not? Because he may argue about what the Umdina is, not whether we go Batar Umdina. So hachanami umdin da'atayu mishum ikruvei da'atau. Va'ikruvalei da'atau. The question is an understanding of the psychology, not whether we rely on an understanding of the psychology. So in other words, how do we look at a Tosefet that's written at the time of Eris? Is it written because of the thoughts of the future? Or is it written as giving oneself over to a relationship with someone that he's in love with? So if it's because of Kiruv Hadda'at, so that takes place already in the Erisin. We're thinking alike, basically. We care enough about each other to commit the marriage. I mean, that's enough of a reason for me to give you a gift. So it's a different type of umdana. So, basically, one is romantically inclined and one is business inclined. That's the question is, which one do we apply to the shtar? This can be a very, very fundamental question of how to look at the ketuvah, right? It looks like a side issue.
No, this is the issue.
This is the issue that people have. This is the issue of the Ketuvah Bechlal. The place to find it is obviously in the Tosefet. Because the Tosefet is the one personal issue of the Ketuvah. To say, if the Ketuvah is merely a mechanism to ensure that marriage is not dependent on moods, it's dependent on responsibility, fine, that's one way of looking at it. But there's an area which goes beyond that, which is the Tosefet. Why did you add? Because you want to express something additional. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. Something additional in terms of the security ultimately in the marriage, or something additional that expresses in the document that meant to ensure that something that is romantic and personal. That's a completely different world.
Because it's from the baby itself. It doesn't even come from him.
It comes from him.
No, but if he didn't write one. She's still entitled.
Yeah, but not to Seth.
No, I understand. Yeah. But that really is to illustrate the difference.
But don't you see that that's the point of our whole sugya?
That's what I mean.
It's brilliant. Our whole sugya is coming to analyze the relationship of the Tosefet to the Ketuvah.
Yeah.
That's how it started. Right? So we said, okay, the Tosefet is like the Ketuvah in terms of, we list all of those different things. But that's in terms of Kalesh. Okay, but what about its meaning? How was it created? That's a different issue. What does it show? What does he mean? So to get into the question of the umdanas is so brilliant, Jim. The structure of the Gemara is so striking. Mm-hmm. Let's separate between the modality. Okay, the modality is it's a ketuvah modality. It's called Tosefet. Fine. But what does it mean? What it means is a completely different issue which was brought to the fore in the Mishnah. Because by having the machlokes of Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim, you're basically opening up the perek with the words even though. In other words, even though all of this is a Tanai Bezdin, and even though there is this mode of collection, and even though it's all business, but suppose you added, what does that mean, right? It's so beautiful, the level of beauty. And this explains why we have such an intense interrelationship that's about to come throughout the generations about how to paskin on this issue. That all next piece of Gemara, which let's just run through, this is just a list, basically. So Yosef Rav Chanina, Kamida Rav Yana, Rav Chanina, this is not just the general Rav Chanina, but as the Girsa of the Bach, Yosef Rav Chanina Kara, because otherwise the continuation doesn't make sense. Rav Chanina, the Kara, he was the one that used to say over the things to the Tidoket and so on. So they used to call him the crier, you know, because every time you walk by the cheder, you could always hear his voice crying out, you know. Yeah, so he was sitting by Rabbi Yanai, and he says over halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Omar leis, Rabbi Yanai told him, you know what, Mr. Crier, go cry outdoors, will you please? Po kori k'racha levra. We don't want to hear stuff like that in our Beis HaMikdash. Ein halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's not how we paskin. We paskin that it's collectible right now. Om Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avidimi mishum Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avidimi quotes Rabbeinu. Now, who is Rabbeinu? Rashi says Rabbeinu is Rav. But does this time is, if it's Rav, why didn't we bring a Raya before? You said we don't know whether it's Rabbi Nosson or Rav. Here you're telling me we know. So obviously we don't know. It's got to be that Rabbeinu is a reference to Rebbe, not to Rav. In any event, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Omrim nachun omrim Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But, that I'm only saying the name of Shmuel. I got to tell you that I myself hold that actually ain't halacha. Rabbi today, Rabbi Nachman today, Amar ain't halacha. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now the Nahardoi quote Rabbi Nachman is saying halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But the weird thing is that Afagav the lot Rabbi Nachman. The Omar called Dayan at the Doink Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Oh boy, alki. Any Dayan who goes ahead paskening like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he should just. And we don't even want to specify what he should just be. But what an unromantic, unforgiving fellow. Pascha like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we got to wait until we go to the chuppah. Guy can't even give a decent gift to his wife anymore. So such and such should happen to him. Nonetheless, I feel okay, I love Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And furthermore, I love Lamaisik Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So basically, the Gemara wants to make very sure we know how to pascha in this issue. Pascha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Only the Ikra Ketuva is Bishat Eirusin, and the rest goes into effect only because of Chibat. Ah, Chibat what? That we'll discuss tomorrow night. Does it require actual intimacy? Does it have to consummate the marriage for it to go into effect? Or is it just the final commitment of the Chuppah? The Knesset Rishus, so that we'll see.